Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now get ready for another episode of Dark Becomes Light with Heidi Hollis.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Welcome to my show. Remember, each week, this is the place you go to when you want to learn about what's going on out there in the paranormal world, or ufology, or cryptozoology, or any other mysterious topic where we are experiencing these things on the real level. We're living and breathing witnesses to some extraordinary events, and it's time that we start talking about it. Go to my website, shadowfolks.com or heidihollis.com, and submit your stories about what you're experiencing, what you've researched, if you'd like to comment, or if you're just curious and want to learn more. As much detail as you'd like to put in your email, feel free to do that. And remember, if you want to be a guest on this show and share your experiences, you are more than welcome. We are all learning and growing in this world, and this is how we lift each other up, right? That's what we do, and that's where we're going. Today's show is going to be super special because I've mentioned on a few episodes here about a topic I'm just stunned to even know exists. The Theosophy to Anthroposophy studies. I had no idea that such a thing existed. And a lot of you are going, well, Heidi, come on now. I mean, I've had my head down. I've been working on so many different things. And, you know, I had some understandings of a lot of similar things that are connected to this anthroposophy in particular that has just floored me in recent months. I don't even know how to express that. Like, I've seen and experienced a lot of strange things in this life, and not many things leave me speechless. And I could tell you, I was pretty speechless and just in a weird state when I realized this kind of stuff and knowledge was out there. And it was more, this is the wording, it was a relief. It was a relief that it existed, because I have been trying to launch and put out new information on things that a lot of people just couldn't relate to. I mean, shadow people, hat man, like, what is that? And it's like, no, this is a real thing, really, honestly, and going around and talking to people and put it out there, write some books, get on some shows. I mean, everything I could possibly do. And it's like, well, what drove you to keep going? It's like, because I knew the reality and because of what I remember from outside of this place, outside of this life. You know, a lot of people say they remember choosing their parents or something. I don't remember that, but I have an understanding, memory, if you will, that is a bit different than a lot of people. And, you know, it's like, people are like, well, just say it. I know how strange some of this stuff can sound. And it's like, yeah, you know, I like the fact that I'm able to relate to people more than not. And sometimes people look for those things that they may consider to be a flag. Oh, nope, that's too far. They turn and back around. And it's okay. But, you know, I relate to having the faith perspective that a lot of people do, the faith base. And I think that's more important, looking at what we have in common more than differences. And, you know, a lot of people have experienced a lot of strange things, but they just don't talk about it. They just don't. And then it sits there and festers, and they do deathbed confessions about UFOs crashing, say, for instance, or having out-of-body experiences and seeing ghosts or demons. I was raised in a haunted house. My dad did not ever admit to have dealt with anything. Nothing. He made it seem like we were all just nuts, but we knew we weren't. I mean, yeah, we had ourselves to support. Myself, my siblings, my stepbrother, my stepmother. We experienced things, but my dad, he wasn't budging. Turns out he had some of the worst experiences, but he just didn't want to scare us because if he was scared, then we wouldn't be able to tolerate it. And he was absolutely terrified. So you see how these things happen? You know, say I was an only child and I didn't have anybody to bounce these ideas off from that I was experiencing. I would be alone. I would, been depressed, oppressed, and maybe got possessed for all I know. I mean, because these things break you down, and when they break you down, they gain access. Not cool. So my dad did what he felt he should do, and, you know, people interpret things differently for themselves, and that's okay. I mean, it happens. But yeah, so, you know, I am hoping by sharing some things on this program that it helps open up some ears, some eyes, souls, minds, all that good stuff to try to grow. Just in case you just so happen to come across anything I'm talking about here, you'll be like, I remember that lady talking about that on that show, and I know what to do in this instance. So, that's all. Just planting the seed. And don't worry, it's positive seeds. And yeah, it's all good. I think they're positive. I'm trying to. I think it's important. So this show today is really, really special because dancing on the topic of anthroposophy, I had mentioned in a prior show that my friend had introduced me to the topic, and it was just videos, you know, and I'm like, ah, anthroposophy, I can't even say the word, and like, the, you know, theosophy, what is all this stuff, you know, and then got shown by Maureen Seaberg this image, this sculpture, and it's like, what do you think of this? And it's like, oh, look at that, that's Hat Man. It's like, what did you say? Like, that's Hat Man. That's a sculpture of Hat Man. Who did Hat Man? That's a pretty cool rendition of him. And to find out it was a 100-year-old sculpture from Rudolf Steiner. And he called it Ahriman. Yeah. So, essentially the devil. And that's what Hat Man is. The devil. Limiting human potential, creativity, all these different things to try to hold down a person's soul, essentially. And, so I reached out to the Anthroposophy Society of folks to try to learn some of this stuff. Like, what is this about? And I've had a few conversations, and I was really fortunate to meet a very nice gentleman that I'm going to have on the show here today that took the time to explain a little bit about it. And because, again, I was floored. I don't even want to tell you how long I was floored for, but it was a while that there was a relation out there to something so similar, so close. And, it's one thing to be this individual going, that's Hat Man, you know, that's Hat Man right there. Ahriman, whatever you want to call him, that's Hat Man. And then to learn these things that tie and bind to being the actual phenomenon that's going on today. And then get some clarification with Andrew Linnell, who's coming on the program here. I mean, wow. Just wow. I'm just, yeah. I was told from the powers that be, I guess you could say, that there were others who had an understanding about what it was I was working on, but I didn't know it was somebody from 100 years ago. I didn't know that. So really shook up my world that way too. But, you know, more than anything, as soon as I learned about the connection with Hat Man and this Ahriman is, I jumped up and down for joy. I'm not kidding. And I said, I found you. I know who you are. And to think that there's something written, yay. Even better. This is awesome to the nth degree. So, I'm still I'm still just letting it sink in. And it's so weird. It's like, I'm so much a part of what's happening today. And people ask me, you know, what's the history of this or history of that? And it's like, you know, history is backstory. That's interesting. But what's going on today is so important. It takes too much energy to dig up bones, you know? But I get it. I get it. And there's people who really dig into that. And I have such a drive that's going forward because I'm worried for what Hatman or Ahriman is up to today, shadow people and the whole agenda and why it's increasing and why it's so widespread and why people are still every day going, oh my goodness, I thought I was the only one dealing with these things. Why this is going on right now? So I am so overly anxious to keep going forward and not wasting time. As neat as it is, I'm learning some things for sure. It's thrilling. And so we're going to touch a little bit on the historical elements of Ahriman, Rudolf Steiner, Anthroposophy, and what is going on with these different angles and something called the Eighth Sphere as well. And I did do a program talking about the Eighth Sphere and how I'm pretty certain that is the understanding I have is that it's right here, kind of looping into our world today. This is why ghosts aren't always seen touching the floor, because they're kind of already stuck in this eighth sphere, trapping of souls. And trapping of souls is what Hatman does and shadow people work for. So it's just so wild to have all these things pulled together. But again, it's like the historical elements, I get it. It's important. I'm not a person that specializes in such a thing, but it's always neat to learn. And this is a place to learn. And you're going to really, really enjoy the conversation we're going to have here next, because Andrew Linnell has a very unique organization, because there's something going on. Okay, so imagine this. When humans are not creative and not building and looking and innovating and doing things, and we put all of our energy into like all watching the same TV show or something, like, I don't know, bazillion people, you're not getting really creative during those moments, are you? You're looking at somebody else's creation. You're not doing a whole heck of a lot, and that is a problem. So our energy is getting absorbed into this one thing, and this is why Hatman goes after the creatives, the artists. And something that Andrew told me after this interview was that it makes sense, because artists, they actually interpret the spiritual realm. They create art here for us all to enjoy. And I always thought, you know, us artists, we just pay attention more and we do interpret the creation that's around us and we create as well. So very, 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 very fascinating. So you guys stick around. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
As we age, cells break down on women and men, causing fine lines, wrinkles, bags under the eyes, crepey skin on the neck, and aging on the hands. Now, Dr. Newman's stem cell-based Lumines products at a newly reduced price will help you return to a youthful vitality and radiance. Dr. Newman, how does Lumines help revitalize your skin and prevent sagging and wrinkles in the skin?
I created the Lumines skincare line to address all the problems that we have with our skin, from around the eyes where we get the sagginess and the bags and the crepiness on the neck, even the lines that we get around the eyes and the droopiness around the forehead. All of these things can be treated with the Lumines skincare line because our products are made to work synergistically to improve the skin on the face, on the neck. You can even use it on the hands and the décolleté, which is the area where we get a lot of sun on the chest. And you will see improvement in these areas. The Lumines serum is the powerhouse of the product line. It has the most amount of APT200, which is the stem cell factor to improve the skin. The Lumines serum, you can put it all over the face and neck to improve the lines and the tightness. You can even put it on the upper eyelid and lower eyelid to improve the sagginess of the neck as well.
Thank you, Dr. Newman. We've had such an amazing response to Lumines serum with the highest amount of APT200 that we've reduced the price over 33%. Or try the Lumines serum for only $19.99 with our postage paid starter kit. Visit healthylooking.com. That's healthylooking.com or by phone at 800-604-3129. Lumines for women and men. Lumines not available in stores. 800-604-3129 or healthylooking.com.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. And with the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault, where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. Head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Just before the break, I mentioned we have a great guest. I have Andrew Linnell, who is a co-founder of Mystic, a nonprofit anthroposophical organization devoted to the cultivation of a relationship of mankind to machine, which is supportive of our evolutionary goals. Andrew's career in the computer field led to becoming chief technology officer for a company in Austin, Texas. He is president of the Boston branch of the Anthroposophical Society, author of several books, father of three, and an avid gardener. So everybody, please welcome Andrew Linnell. And, you know, Andrew, I have to say it has been an absolute pleasure getting to know you. I more recently got introduced to the topic of anthroposophy, started by Rudolf Steiner, and I know my audience is a bit new to the topic, so I think it would be kind of neat to how can you put that into a nice little box? I know it's a big one, but how do you tell people what anthroposophy is about?
Oh boy, I guess I probably should have prepared even more, but one phrase that often works is spiritual science. What anthroposophy wants to try to do is extend the sciences beyond what science has self-limited itself to, which is the world of what is dead. And so when they study something, they take it apart, they kill it. What anthroposophy wishes to do is extend that as a science into what we will call the living element. Some people call it chi or prana. In anthroposophy, it's often called the etheric realm. So, and you can see that as a science, one needs to develop capacities to be able to experience this further realm that is not one that you can perceive with the physical senses. So to develop those organs of perception is something that's been around for time immemorial. It's a meditative practice as well, then, to develop those senses of perception.
Wow, that's quite a bit. I like that. Spiritual science, though, that's something that you don't hear every day, that's for certain.
That's true. And although I think there are a number of spiritual groups that have liked that and want to associate themselves with that, and that's fine. I would say Anthroposophy does not say that they are the exclusive owner of spiritual truths by any means, but there's a kind of reticence to go to a kind of spirituality that is all in the feeling realm and cannot be brought down into a science. For example, anything that is done through drug enhancement, it would not be considered part of a spiritual science because it would be very difficult to have repeatable experiments and to be able to use scientific methods in that kind of research.
Interesting. I have heard of people using various drugs to have these out-of-body experiences and try to gain knowledge from those other levels as well. So I think that's cheating, but but you're also saying that it's not measurable, but are they actually retrieving the right information when they're doing that?
Yeah, well, that's one of the questions. And what Rudolf Steiner would have said is that this is something that can maybe awaken people to things, but then they need to leave it behind in order to really develop the spiritual science. What you experience in the spiritual world, is going to be all the spiritual beings that are there. So some of the beings that are there are going to try to deceive you because they have their purpose for doing that. And other beings are going to try to be helpful to human evolution and to assist you in your quest for a spiritual science. And so one has to be able to really discern when they're there, what's what.
That makes sense. How can you tell us a bit about Rudolf Steiner? I mean, I feel like I've been like having my head in the sand or something. I'm like, who is this person? What has he done? He sounds like he was way ahead of his time.
Well, it's hard to say ahead of one's time. In some respects, you could say he was kind of late showing up. But there's a lot of what he brought there at the turn of the century. So let me back up. He was born in 1861 and died in 1925. And his death has been, by many accounts, attributed to an attempt to poison him. And there were a number of occasions where he was given poison, and there were a number of occasions where people did try to take his life. So, and I don't know if you know this, but at some point in his career, he had enough support to build a building, which was to be a kind of temple in which people who came in and experienced the forms and the spaces within it and the art would have an opening of their spiritual organs of perception, maybe not to full consciousness, but enough so that they would want to pursue that. And this building soon after it was finished, an arsonist slipped in and burned it down. And it's there's a number of people that have written about it. There's one called The Spear of Destiny. So I say these things because it's almost impossible to prove it. There was no investigation, and Steiner himself wanted people to essentially not forget it, but to move on, to focus on rebuilding. And I think he knew he was going to die soon because of all of this attempt to bring an end to his life and all of the attempts at poisoning him. So that building was rebuilt, and unfortunately not out of wood. And as something Steiner said, with the money from the insurance companies that they were wishing they didn't have to give it away. So
wow. He designed this building. He taught different things. Like, tell us that I know that he's got like a whole like resume of different hats that he wore. Can you tell us some of them?
Yes, Heidi. He was the architect. He founded a whole new school of architecture in the arts, a new form of human movement called eurythmy, which tries to make speech and music visible. And this also works into the sciences of trying to make certain qualities in matter, in the subject of investigation, to be able to determine qualities. So you would have to find ways to make those visible. So there's a lot of new scientific techniques that others have tried to copy or have come through their own methods to trying to also make visible things that are otherwise invisible. Just what makes a food a quality? And this gets into one of the other areas that he founded called biodynamics. There's a wonderful book by a professor at Harvard Divinity School called Eco-Alchemy, which is about the biodynamic movement. And many people don't know this, but Silent Spring, written by Rachel Carson, was based on a biodynamic farm on Long Island run by the sister of Benjamin Spock, who was the famous baby doctor, Marjorie Spock. And she sued her town to tell them to not spray DDT on her property, that she was trying to build a farm out of wholeness and wanted the insects there. So Rachel, in covering the trial, came up with the idea for Silent Spring. Okay. And so that started the whole ecological movement and environmental movements.
Fascinating. It's so many different arms to his work. It just blows my mind. Like these Waldorf schools, am I saying that right? Those are very popular all over the world, correct?
Yes, they are. They are indeed all over the world. And they've had a lot of very interesting graduates. My own kids went to a Waldorf school, and that's in a way what brought me to anthroposophy was the Waldorf schools. I had been introduced to it before, but it was really through experiencing Waldorf education, wishing I had had that for my education, but just seeing what it did for my three kids, I was so impressed. I then went and studied a lot more and a lot more seriously.
Fascinating. Well, we've got to get to our first break. So, wow, there's so much more to learn. You guys are listening to Dark Becomes Light on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.
Stay right there. There's more Heidi coming right up.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of thinning hair and not so thrilled with the options to reverse it? After 10 years of extensive research, Dr. Nathan Newman is proud to introduce Reveal. Easy to apply Reveal works great on men and women and is used in the comfort of your home, applied morning and evening. Free of parabens, sulfates, silicones, and dyes, Dr. Newman uses stem cell technology and natural ingredients in this revolutionary product.
It's the only product that can be used for men and women without having to worry about side effects on your heart. It wasn't an accidental discovery. It was really made for the hair, so it doesn't have all the side effects that all the other products that we had. Because it was made for the hair, it really has very good effect very quickly. You will see the changes in your hair, not in 2 years, but you will see it within 2 or 3 months. You will see that it's thicker, is more lustrous, better. The more you use it, the more it will continue to benefit and maintain the hair, because it's a fight against our genetics and against the hormonal changes that we get. Once you start using it and you see the benefit, you want to maintain it by continuing to use it.
Reveal is a luxury home care system applied twice daily that is as good a treatment as you would find at the most exquisite salons at a fraction of the price. And only at HealthyLooking.com can you get Reveal with free smart delivery shipping. Simply enter discount code George. Time to return to a fuller looking head of hair with Reveal from HealthyLooking.com or by phone 24/7 at 800-604-3129. 800-604-3129. Genuine Reveal is not available in stores. Order today at HealthyLooking.com. Reveal.
The four. Organization.
The Art Bell Vault has classic audio waiting for you now. Go to coasttocoastam.com for details.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I have Andrew Linnell. He is from Miss Tech. And we're talking a bit about something called anthroposophy that essentially came out of theosophy by Rudolf Steiner. And wow, what an amazing man. And I've literally more recently started to learn about his work And there's something I wanted to get into with you, Andrew, because this really just kind of jarred my world. So I have certain understandings coming from a whole different perspective. I have memories of other things that outside of this life, if that makes sense. But I've talked to you before, so you know what I'm speaking of. So I have a good friend, Maureen Seberg. She was trying to get me to listen to this anthroposophy line of knowledge and on some videos. And I'm like, I can't even say that word right. It's just hurting my head. And so I tried to listen, and then she's like, hey, what do you think of this image, the sculpture here? And I'm like, well, who did a sculpture of Hatman? And she's like, what did you say? I'm like, well, that's Hatman. That's what he looks like. And she's like, this is 100 years old, and Rudolf Steiner did it, of Ahriman. And everything just shook for me. Like, what? You know, like, I was literally instructed from this other time, this other life, about warning people about this thing to come, and the shadow people, Hat Man, and the downfall that it was going to do to mankind. And I knew there were others here, but I surely didn't know where to look, because, you know, here I am sitting as having introduced two whole paranormal phenomena that nobody ever heard of. And so it's been just one level after another, trying to peel the layers and try to explain these things to people. So it's been a lonely battle. And then I get this, and I'm like, and I get introduced to you through the Anthroposophy Society. I reached out, and you were kind enough to take the time to go, oh, okay. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on Hatman being Ahriman, because everything is so parallel from what I'm seeing.
Yeah, you even have a very interesting name for the radio show, Dark Becomes Light, right?
Yes.
And what's interesting is you can almost say that's in this sculpture by Rudolf Steiner Edith Marion was an assistant for that. And what Steiner was trying to show is that in our Western culture, we have called a being by the name of Lucifer. You all know this name. That name means the bearer of light. We've made this into the being of darkness. So we've gone from the light into the dark in our thinking and made one being. Steiner said, no, it's not one being. Lucifer still exists. He's still the light bearer. And he leads us astray when we try to leave the earth before our time and try to enter the spiritual world as angelic beings without finishing our work as human beings. And so, most people are somewhat familiar with the biblical passages in Genesis that talk about how humanity once existed in a different state called Eden. This was before we had physical bodies. And at that time, Lucifer was successful in bringing his influence into human evolution. That caused humanity to have to change its course of evolution, the so-called fall. And in order for this fall to have some place to fall to, Ahriman or Hatman was brought into human evolution as the balance to what Lucifer had already brought into our human evolution as it had been intended. And so there are periods, and you've probably heard of Cain and Abel, they represent this transition period from Eden to Earth. And during this period of time, Ahriman is able, and this was allowed, to have his own beings become part of the making of this human physical body. So the human physical body is something that we exist within through incarnation after incarnation, only for a temporary period of thousands, tens of thousands of years. But still, it's temporary, and this will eventually come to an end. And during this whole period of time, an Aramanic being joins us in the body before birth and leaves us just before death. We carry that being within us, but you have to see that each individual is the one sitting on the throne. You're the king or queen of your being. And Lucifer and Ahriman are like the two advisors whispering in our ears all the time. But when we're in our daytime consciousness, we're the ones that sit on the throne and make the decision. But people abdicate this all the time. And this is, we were talking about taking drugs and so on. It becomes very easy with alcohol and drugs to abdicate that role and allow the drug or the alcohol to take over that role. And when you do, then Lucifer and Ahriman, either one of them, can then start being there. Now, Lucifer had an incarnation about 5,000 years ago. And this being that we will call the balancer, or the Christ consciousness that can be in us, had his incarnation at where Christianity places it. And I would just add, Christ entered the body of Jesus at the baptism. So Christ was here for just 3 years. And Ahriman has an incarnation coming up any day now, so to speak. And in this movement, you can see Lucifer's incarnation was in China, Christ in the Middle East. So Ahriman's will be in the West. And what Ahriman, what he brings is this quality of the physical world that is lifeless. And he tries to bring everything down to the lifeless. Tremendous intelligence. And so you can see Ahriman at work in all the mechanical, all the computers, all the internet, and that sort of stuff as a preparation for his coming incarnation. And what you mentioned, Mystech, that organization is trying to do is to overcome the fear, because when you learn this kind of stuff, it can become very fearful. And people want to withdraw and become neo-Amish, which isn't what Steiner wanted. Steiner would call that spiritual cowardice. But so it does raise questions, how do we protect ourselves? How do, you know, 5G and other sorts of things, are they affecting us? And the answer is yes, they do affect us. But can you be healthy in this? Can you rise up in a certain sense to a higher awakening because of all that's going on? So
Can I ask too that, some of the stuff that you're mentioning, I mean, I'm still learning, this perspective of the anthroposophy and Rudolf Steiner and what he taught. But it's interesting. I mean, it's like, whoa, stuff I've never heard of. But I'm curious about this element of the technology. One thing that I know about the Hat Man phenomenon is that he tries to get people, especially who are gifted, who have certain insight, those who are creative, and he really hones in on those people and really goes after them. And people are like, I must have done something horrible in a past life, or maybe I'm doing something horrible now. That, why is he so attracted to me? Why is he wreaking havoc on my life? And I'm like, well, you know, what do you do? You know, are you able to see certain things outside of what others can see? You know, so it seems like he's limiting the human potential is what I feel. And what I was told, this is what Hat Man will do. And he's trapping souls. He's trapping them. And then I learned of this thing called the eighth sphere, and I almost fell off my chair. I'm like, this is so him. This is so exactly what I was told to know and teach and tell people about. So tell us a little bit about the eighth sphere. Like, what is that about?
So there are seven spheres of existence in which humanity will participate, and an eighth sphere that will take us out of that seven sphere evolutionary path. This sounds complicated and it sounds kind of weird, but I will point your listeners to a branch of astrophysics called metallicity that says the solar system, in order to have the heavy metals, must have had three prior incarnations, if you call a solar system having an incarnation. And so this would be the fourth. That agrees totally, and that Steiner was way before this, metallicity came into being, saying that this is the fourth. There are names to them, and they follow the names of the days of the week. So Saturn, Sun, Moon, and Earth is encompassing Mars and Mercury. And then we go to Jupiter, Venus, and then the octave for Saturn has a name called Vulcan, which is the Latin name. Hephaestus is the Greek name, which is, interestingly, the god of technology. It's also one of the sons of Zeus. And so would, in a sense, inherit the spiritual world from Zeus when the time comes around.
We will hold it right there. You guys are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver. And this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey folks, producer Tom here, reminding you to make sure and check out our official Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel. For many of us, YouTube is our go-to place for audio-visual media, and we here at Coast to Coast are happy to share free hour-long excerpts of Coast to Coast AM with you, our loyal fans and new listeners. Our YouTube channel offers many different Coast to Coast AM hour-long pieces of audio on numerous topics, including ufology, extraterrestrials, conspiracies, strange creatures, prophecies, and much, much. much more. There's even a section that includes our most popular uploads, such as many of the David Pilates shows on people disappearing in national parks. To visit or subscribe, just go to YouTube and type in Coast to Coast AM Official, or you can simply go to the coasttocoastam.com website and click on the YouTube icon at the top. It's the official Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel. You're going to love this. Just get on over to coasttocoastam.com and start your free listening now.
Looking for that certain someone who shares your interests in UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, conspiracy theories, and the paranormal? Look no further than ParanormalDate.com, the unique site for like-minded people. If you like the senior crowd, try ParanormalDate.com/seniors to meet like-minded people that are 60 plus. It all depends on what you prefer. ParanormalDate.com is great for everyone. You can also tap into members that are 60 plus at ParanormalDate.com/seniors. Enjoy your search. Have some fun at ParanormalDate.com.
Hey folks, it's easier than ever to become a Coast to Coast AM insider and have access to past shows, the Art Bell Vault with classic audio and interviews, and so much more. And you can listen to the show live or on demand with your computer or cell phone, and the audio streams are high quality and crystal clear. It's easy to become an insider. Just head on over to coasttocoastam.com, the website, and you'll find all the info right there. That's coasttocoastam.com, coasttocoastam.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. And I have Andrew Linnell, and he was just chatting with us about the eighth sphere and giving some details on what that all means. And I'll let you continue. Take it from there, Andrew.
Okay. Well, so this Hat Man or Ahriman wants to thwart. That's why he's brought in a sense, to be the obstacle for humanity to become angelic-like beings. And so in bringing that opposition or this hindrance, his goal, you could say, is to make us like machines, to be intelligent automatons. And oh, by the way, Lucifer would like for us to be moral automatons. And the balance in between that is to be free, moral, and wisdom-filled beings. Now, that eighth sphere would come about in the future, and in some respects, it's already beginning through our adherence to materialism. Materialism played a part in the development of our freedom. We needed to become separated from the spiritual world, or we could not have developed freedom. So that occurred back in the 13th century, but carryovers from that continued right up until about the middle of the 19th century. And so finally, we've attained this freedom. And so now is the time when Ahriman can start using our freedom and have us choose a path which says, mockingly, oh, that spiritual world, what a bunch of malarkey that is. The only reality is physical reality. And so as people then say, I'm not going to do anything towards my development, I'm just going to be fat, dumb, and happy here in the physical world, they are making a choice. Sorry, maybe I used some wrong words.
Okay. That's all good.
Epicurean approach to things. But so they are choosing to follow the path that is one whispered in their ear by the Ahrimanic being that exists within them. And so that will lead them to going out of human evolution by their own free will. It's their own free choice to do so.
Yeah.
And so,
you know, what's interesting to me too, you know, so many people I've met even that are addicted to video games, this virtual reality.
Yeah.
And it's like, I keep telling people, I'm like, imagine it was a team of people who created that and you all are just fixated on their creation instead of living your own creation, you know? And it's a shame. It's like a waste of soul energy and mind and body. People just waste away into this. So I could see that fear. And I've known people that have gone through addiction withdrawal from video games and their technology.
There's a whole field of psychology on this now too. And
yes.
Places like in Korea, South Korea, and it's in Seoul, there's, you know, it's rampant in the world. And
it
I know
is.
Several friends of children of my acquaintances who have, like you said, have become addicted. They cannot live their lives anymore.
They can't. So in Mystic, so tell us a bit about that. So you said that, and this is your organization. And so you're trying to find a healthy balance so people are not doing these things. Right. So tell us the website and tell us about what you're doing.
The website, you mentioned Mystic, so it's mystech.org. And that stands for the Mysteries of Technology. The goal is to bring about an ability for a machine to operate when its operator, as a human being, has a moral impulse. And so it will operate in a what's called a mechanical occultism. The person won't actually have to go to the machine to turn it on. It is their impulse that comes. Sorry, anthroposophy has a fourfold model of the human being, something called the I am as our center, something that is like a sheath around that called our astral body, where all our emotions are housed, and then our life body, where the physical body's blueprint is, and then the physical body where we take on mineral substance and become visible in the physical. All four of these have roles in our development, and Mystic is trying to find a way that this moral impulse comes through the astral and then resonates in the etheric such that a machine will resonate inside with that resonant frequency such that it knows this is a moral impulse and what to do. So that's a major undertaking. As we try to get there, we are trying to bring about an education in humanity about spiritual science, about man-machine interactions and relationships. So we do that through study groups and an annual conference. This year, our annual conference is the 12th to the 15th of August. And the mystech.org website has plenty of information for people. We try to make it as inexpensive as possible so anybody can come to that. And so this will be our fourth year doing it. It's for an organization.
Really interesting. That's fascinating. It's got so many different layers. Like, it's just things that, I think a lot of us that, I've been looking into these more interesting topics for a long time, and I don't know how I skipped this. It's something that's been there, and it's so widespread, and there's so many different individual study groups, and it's just mind-blowing. Now, what you said something about Ahriman about to reincarnate soon. Was there something that Rudolf Steiner had said 100 years from his time is when he would surface? I just can't think it's a coincidence that Hatman connecting the two. I'm like I think I twice fell off a chair when I heard that. You know, I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. You know, I just knocked me over with a feather. This is a lot to take in. What do you think people should be doing right now knowing that, and it's also important to note that I'm Christian, and you're, this is also kind of a Christian perspective too, that the Anthroposophy has. So, I mean, what do you think people should be doing if we're supposed to be facing good versus evil pretty much any day now?
Or good versus two evils, and that, but the two evils can be balanced out. There's so much that could be said, and I'm so thankful to you that you didn't go crazy over what you had found in yourself about Hat Man, because many people do begin to lose themselves and go crazy when they are having spiritual experiences, because the world tells them they're crazy, they're having these spiritual experiences. And, you know, I was in the computer field 42 years. I'm retired now from it. And I couldn't speak about these things there because they would, you know, would have ruined my career. They would have thought, oh, he's crazy. I had to wait till I retired to start bringing this stuff out.
Wow.
But that these times are changing. And as you said, it won't be a reincarnation. It'll be his first and only, just as Christ had one and only, and Lucifer had one and only. Humans have lots of them. But and that will be in America. He said early in the third millennium, but didn't tie it down much more than that. I have, through a number of things, put an approximate date around 2233. I think there's going to be a lot more preparation. So what you're seeing now is the preparation for this incarnation. And, you know, things like Neuralink, other sorts of brain-computer interfaces, I think those will be in existence by the time he incarnates, as well as prosthetic limbs, where people will say, you know, that's a lot better than having to go and work out 90 minutes every day in the gym. I'm just going to chop off my arms and get those prosthetic limbs.
That's really scary, Andrew. That's really scary. I'm just, I don't know. I mean, it's a fascinating future that we're about to step into, and a scary one, but there's always hope. I always say, you know, good wins in the end. So, wow.
Well, those are the challenges. So, yes, and you mentioned being Christian. I can't say that we're Christian in the way that a Christian church could accept us, because reincarnation isn't accepted in Christianity. But it's so interesting, isn't it, Heidi, today, that so many people who believe in Christianity also believe in reincarnation. And in this case, you know, this would fit.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Well, Andrew Linnell, I have to thank you so much for coming on the program. This was really deep. I might have to have you come back on just to, like, explain it again. But thank you so much, Andrew Linnell, and everybody go to mystech.org, and that's MYSTECH. Wow. You guys, remember to go to shadowfolks.com or HeidiHollis.com. Send over your comments, your experiences, anything and everything out of the ordinary, and I will definitely address it here on the show. Don't forget, make it as long as you want. This has been a really fascinating conversation. I am always open to learning about new things, and I hope you are too. We don't have to make it a certain religious belief or anything like that, but just be open and prepared just in case you come across something like these things. All right, you've been listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network, and we will catch you next time. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Well, if you liked this edition of Dark Becomes Light, wait till you hear the next one. You've been listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.